Welcome to the OCR GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and exam-critical topics on your specification, theories of criminal behavior. Whether you're sitting your exam in a few weeks or just getting started with this topic, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know, from the biology of the brain to the power of observation. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. This topic sits within the criminal psychology component of OCR GCSE Psychology Specification Reference J203. It's worth knowing that the assessment objective breakdown is roughly 30% AO1, that's description, 35% AO2, application, and 35% AO3, evaluation. So you need to be able to do all three, not just recall facts. Keep that in mind throughout this episode. Let's start with the big picture. Why do people commit crimes? Psychologists have proposed two main types of explanation: biological explanations, which focus on what's happening inside a person's brain and body, and social explanations, which focus on what a person has learned from their environment. Both are on your spec, and both are equally important. Let's take them one at a time. First up, the biological explanation, starting with the amygdala. The amygdala is a small, almond-shaped structure deep inside the brain. It's part of the limbic system, the emotional processing center of the brain. Its key job is to process emotions, particularly fear and aggression. Now here's the critical bit for your exam. Research suggests that in some individuals who display aggressive or criminal behavior, the amygdala may be overactive or dysregulated. This means it triggers aggressive responses more easily, even to relatively minor threats. Think of it like a smoke alarm that goes off when you're just making toast. It's oversensitive. For your AO1 marks, you need to be able to describe the amygdala's location: deep within the temporal lobe, part of the limbic system, and its function, processing fear and aggression. For AO3, a good evaluation point is that brain scanning studies provide supporting evidence, but we must be cautious about assuming a direct causal link between amygdala activity and criminal behavior, as many people with atypical amygdala function never commit crimes. Now let's move on to Eysenck's theory of criminal personality. Hans Eysenck was a hugely influential psychologist who proposed that personality could be measured along three dimensions. He called this the PEN model, and that acronym is your best friend for this topic. P stands for psychoticism, E stands for extroversion, and N stands for neuroticism. Let me break each one down. Psychoticism, and this is a really common exam mistake, so listen carefully. Psychoticism does not mean psychosis. It does not mean the person is mentally ill or out of touch with reality. Psychoticism in Eysenck's model refers to a personality trait characterized by coldness, lack of empathy, aggression, and a disregard for social norms. Candidates who confuse this with clinical psychosis will lose marks. Remember, P is for personality trait, not psychiatric condition. Extroversion in Eysenck's theory has a biological basis. Eysenck proposed that extroverts have an underactive nervous system. Their cortical arousal levels are naturally low. This means they need more stimulation from the outside world to feel alert and engaged. This drives thrill-seeking, impulsive behavior, and a reduced sensitivity to punishment, all of which can increase the likelihood of criminal behavior. Neuroticism refers to emotional instability. High scorers on the N dimension are anxious, moody, and overreactive to stress. Combined with high E and high P, Eysenck argued this creates a personality profile highly associated with criminal behavior. So the key formula to remember is high P plus high E plus high N equals increased likelihood of criminal behavior. And crucially, for top band AO1 marks, you must explain the biological basis, the underactive nervous system, not just list the traits. Now let's talk about the core study that tests Eysenck's theory. Heaven, 1996. Patrick Heaven conducted a longitudinal study with Australian adolescents. He used self-report questionnaires to measure Eysenck's PEN traits and then tracked participants over time to see whether personality scores predicted delinquent behavior. The key finding was that high psychoticism scores were the strongest predictor of delinquency. For evaluation, the longitudinal design is a genuine strength. It allows researchers to track changes over time and establish whether personality traits precede criminal behavior, which is important for establishing causation. However, there are significant weaknesses. Attrition, that's participants dropping out over time, reduces the sample size and may introduce bias if those who drop out are systematically different from those who remain. Self-report measures are also vulnerable to social desirability bias. Participants may underreport delinquent behavior because they don't want to admit to it. A really important exam tip here: when you evaluate Heaven, don't just say small sample. Instead, explain that attrition over the longitudinal period means the final sample may not be representative of the original group, which limits the generalizability of the findings to the broader adolescent population. Also, watch out for this common mistake. Heaven's key finding relates to psychoticism, not extroversion. Candidates sometimes mix these up. The P dimension was the strongest predictor, remember that. Right, let's shift to the social explanation. Social learning theory, or SLT. This was developed by Albert Bandura in 1977, and it proposes that behavior, including criminal behavior, is learned through observation of others. The theory has four key stages, and I want you to memorize the mnemonic ARM, ARRM. A is for attention. The observer must pay attention to the role model's behavior. If you're not watching, you can't learn. R is for retention. The observer must store the behavior in memory as a mental representation. You need to be able to remember what you saw. R is for reproduction. The observer must have the physical and cognitive ability to reproduce the behavior. You can't imitate something you're physically incapable of doing. M is for motivation. This is arguably the most important stage for criminal behavior. The observer must be motivated to perform the behavior. And here's the key concept: vicarious reinforcement. This means the observer sees the role model being rewarded for the behavior, perhaps gaining status, money, or praise, and this increases the observer's motivation to imitate it. You must reference vicarious reinforcement in any SLT answer. Candidates who describe SLT generally without mentioning vicarious reinforcement will not access the top marks. The core study for SLT is Cooper and Mackey, 1986. They conducted a lab experiment with children aged 8 to 10 in the United States. Children were assigned to play either a violent video game, Missile Command, a non-violent video game, or no game at all. Aggression was then measured through observation of free play. The key finding was that girls who had played Missile Command showed significantly more aggressive behavior in their subsequent free play compared to girls in the other conditions. Boys showed less clear differences. For evaluation, the lab experiment design is a strength because it allows for tight control of variables, meaning we can be more confident that the video game, rather than some other factor, caused the increase in aggression. However, the artificial lab setting is a significant weakness. The children knew they were being observed, and the play environment was not naturalistic. This means the findings may lack ecological validity. We cannot be sure the same effect would occur in real-world settings. Examiners specifically want you to contextualize this weakness. It's not just that it's artificial, it's that the specific behaviors measured in a lab play setting may not translate to real-world criminal aggression. Also note the sample, children aged 8 to 10 in the USA. This limits generalizability to other age groups and cultural contexts. Now let's talk exam technique. This is the section that can genuinely make the difference between a grade 5 and a grade 8. For 13-mark extended response questions, you must give equal weighting to AO1 description, AO2 application, and AO3 evaluation. A common mistake is writing three paragraphs of description and then a rushed sentence of evaluation at the end. Examiners are looking for balance. For command word describe, give two developed points with supporting detail. Don't just list. For explain, use the PEEL structure: point, evidence, explanation, link. Every explanation needs a because. For evaluate, don't just identify a weakness, explain why it matters. The study used a small sample is worth 1 mark. The study used a small sample of children aged 8 to 10 in the USA, which means the findings cannot be generalized to adult populations or to non-Western cultural contexts where attitudes to violence may differ. That's worth 3 marks. For outline and evaluate questions, remember the marks are split, so check the mark allocation before you start writing. One more tip. When comparing biological and social explanations, the strongest answers acknowledge that both may interact. A person with high psychoticism may be more likely to pay attention to and be motivated by aggressive role models, so the biological and social explanations are not mutually exclusive. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, pause, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What does the P in Eysenck's PEN model stand for, and what does it mean? Pause. Psychoticism, a personality trait characterized by coldness, lack of empathy, and aggression, not psychosis. Question 2. What is vicarious reinforcement? Pause. Learning through observing a role model being rewarded for a behavior, which increases the observer's motivation to imitate it. Question 3. Name one strength and one weakness of Heaven's 1996 study. Pause. Strength: longitudinal design allows tracking of changes over time. Weakness: attrition reduces sample size and may introduce bias. Self-report measures are vulnerable to social desirability bias. Question 4. What was the key finding of Cooper and Mackey 1986? Pause. Girls who played the violent video game Missile Command showed increased aggression in subsequent free play compared to control conditions. Question 5. What does ARM stand for in social learning theory? Pause. Attention, retention, reproduction, motivation. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread those sections before your exam. Let's wrap up. The key things to take away from today are, first, biological explanations focus on the amygdala and Eysenck's pen model. Remember, the biological basis of extroversion is cortical underarousal. Second, social explanations focus on social learning theory, use ARM, and always mention vicarious reinforcement. Third, your two core studies are Heaven 1996, longitudinal self-report, key finding is high psychoticism, and Cooper and Mackey 1986 lab experiment, children key finding is increased aggression after violent video game playing girls. Fourth, for top marks, evaluate with depth. Explain the implications of weaknesses. Don't just name them. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.